Hey guys, the Copcast just created a Patreon at patreon.com where you can go to donate a couple bucks a month to our show to help us keep it going. If you can do that, we'd really appreciate it. It's patreon.com/BigRedCopcast or go to our Twitter at BigRedCopcast. There's a pinned tweet at the top with a link to it. All right, thanks guys.
This is Bob Wilfong.
I'm Joe Canale.
I'm Ryan Tweedy.
I'm Pat Jansen.
And my Canale.
All right, so you know who's here now.
For Nebraska and the Scarlet.
From Van Nuys, California.
About 15 miles away from Hollywood, California.
It's the Big Red Copcast.
Hey, welcome to the Big Red Copcast. I'm Pat.
I'm Joe.
Yeah.
Been a while.
It has been a long time.
Yeah. The spring game, I guess, was the last one I did, I think.
Yeah, and it's been way longer than that since you and I have done a podcast together.
Yeah, because I did one other one not so long ago where it was just me and Tweety, I think.
I don't remember that. It had been a while since I haven't done one
until the spring game. Well, I want
to
get back into the mix as things start looking better for the team, obviously. obviously there's not a lot. Have you been doing it every week?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of the things for some throwback episodes going up on the on the thing. And our Patreon is just in full effect.
Yes.
At
yes.
some point I'm gonna be donating a Nebraska kind of fleece. We're going to have to appeal to people of a certain size, though. You know, I think it's like, maybe it might fit you, so maybe I'll just give it to you instead.
That works for me.
Yeah, but I want to make a donation to our raffle items.
Yes.
You know.
I think you should do that.
I don't want to make any donation to the show, per se, necessarily.
But, yeah, that'd be robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah, and you know. All the apostles were thieves. So we're in this period of. Well, there was a signing this week, right? And didn't they get
a commitment from? Was that this week or last?
Wide receiver from Missouri.
Yeah, Cameron Brown, who then got an offer from Alabama
right
immediately
after
afterward.
That. Yeah, yeah. From what I was reading, this guy was like a Riley special. Riley really likes this guy, and I feel like they. They missed out on that guy,
D'Amador Lenore?
Yes. And I feel like...
Got it off the first syllable.
Yeah, I stopped right away. I feel like they're going after guys like that who it's like athletes who could be a wide receiver or cornerback. I feel like their entire, the Williams, quote-unquote, brothers are recruiting the same players.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Like, they...
And that's great. Let you know, get nine guys who are great athletes and then sort them out into safeties, cornerbacks, and wide receivers afterwards.
Yeah, and it sounds like they've got ideas where they're going, but it's also
yes.
a little bit like, well, if we get this guy, then
yes.
you'll be here. If we don't get this
yes.
guy, you'll be here.
Right. And it's nice getting a couple guys like that.
Yeah, and ultimately, I mean, all these guys at the high school level who are those skill position players, they're playing multiple positions anyway.
Right. They're not, and it's not so specialized that they're not going to, and that's why so many freshmen redshirt too, no matter what. All the guys
yeah.
at these D1 schools who come in as freshmen were hot shit at their school, no matter who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a whole different level, so many of them will get the technique and coaching that they need for
yeah.
whatever position they fall into.
Absolutely, yeah.
The only
guys who you see on tape when you're watching like huddle tapes who don't play multiple positions are those sort of pro style quarterbacks
yep.
slinging it around. Cause you don't want that guy
no.
like tearing up his knee playing
yep.
safety.
Yep. And sometimes at a big school, offensive linemen and defensive linemen will be separate.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, but a lot of them do play both ways, especially
oh, yeah.
when they're that good of a player. We're running out of spots is my one concern.
Yeah.
You know, I guess they don't need too many of the other positions. You know, they're looking for one at this, one at that, one at that. So there's no pressing need for anything. I just, it's unfortunate that we're doing so well right now in such a small class. It's great we're doing well now, but the fact that it's in such a small class is kind of a bad break.
Is it a chicken and the egg thing, though? Like, are they right. allowed a little bit more like concentrated focus because they don't have to lock down a million guys.
And maybe guys are committing a little sooner because there's not as many spots open.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of like the five-star type guys are going to want to wait, so that's sometimes the unfortunate thing. Yes. But, I mean, these guys aren't chopped liver. I mean, Cameron Jurgens, Eric Fuller,
these are guys
Bookie.
Who are getting SEC offers and Ohio State offers and Michigan offers. When those schools are involved, that's the cream of the crop. And we're getting a lot of those guys now this year. And I feel like last year was kind of, you know, it was great that we got Tyjon Lindsey after we lost Calvin. Because I feel like we lost more of those battles than we won. And you're going to do that a lot of years. But this year, I feel like already we've kind of done better than last year with some spots to fill. And yeah. I would expect they're going to oversign this year to the limit, which is 18, I guess. Or 17, maybe?
I think it's right around there. Yeah. But, like,
It depends on who they give scholarships to as walk-ons, too, right? Or are those just one-year scholarships?
Usually it's, I think, for the duration.
Okay.
For what's left, yeah.
For what's left, okay. Because then, you know, then that takes one of those spots away. But we'll see. We'll see what happens on, and this is a good segue, to the early signing day.
Yeah.
And what is it now this year? It's in...
There's going to be a December signing day.
A December signing day.
Mm-hmm.
So you hope to fill up your class then, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And again, those last few spots you can be picky about. Because, yeah, if you're a five-star guy, all schools are going to hold a spot for a five-star guy. Because what are there, 15, 20 of them each year?
If that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there will be a case of they'll get the number they want, and if a certain guy or two decides, hey, I want to be a Husker, they'll find the room.
Yes.
They'll Alabama that. Not to that level, but I think Riley has a little bit more of a cutthroat side to him than people think.
Right.
That he's able to mask because he's such a nice guy.
And he doesn't use it with the consistency of a Urban Meyer or Jim Harbaugh. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
He saves it if he has to, that kind of stuff. Go ahead.
Oh, it's a little bit like politics. Like, you cannot behave a certain way all the time or else you'll never be able to get certain things through. You have to be measured and pick and choose the moments to do certain things. And I think Riley really knows how to play that game better than people. And I think he's a genuine guy. Don't get me wrong,
right.
But I think he also,
oh yeah, there's, you know,
he's not a dope.
No. And you can't be at that level. You just can't be at that level of the game. Like in politics.
Right.
I've said it before. You can't be at the upper levels of politics without being dirty.
Right.
One way or another. And it's all a matter of degrees.
Right. Anybody who says, I'm voting for that person because they're not a politician, is ignoring the fact that they are now a politician because they're running for office.
Right, exactly.
Just the same, when you look at a college football coach, they're a Division I college football coach.
So something dirty has happened in there.
And not necessarily,
and there's,
there are degrees of it.
Exactly. It's but not
you
Hugh
know,
Freeze, which would be, you know, maybe our president right now. We're going to see, you know, it's Mike Riley is like Orrin Hatch, who's going to be our president in about 3 months.
Oh, Tweety would be so pissed if he knew that we were talking politics.
I'm not even taking a side there one way or the other. It just so happens that all the people who are going to be arrested are the ones who are in power right now.
He just hates when we do that.
I know.
But you know what?
He doesn't know who Orrin Hatch is, though.
He's out in the woods.
This is what you
getting
get.
Fucked up for his
yes,
birthday,
exactly.
Which is you know. So we can do whatever we
it's
want,
our
including
show.
We're playing the old intro today, and it's no disrespect to Nick who wrote the other one. It's just it felt like a throwback day.
Yes, do it.
I like our new one. People were rough on it, and
on the new intro.
Yeah, have you heard it?
How long has it been around?
It was on the episode that you did.
I never hear the.
Oh, you never hear
I
the
don't
episodes?
Listen to the. I especially don't listen to. I haven't listened to any episode I've ever done.
Oh.
I think I've listened to one or two I didn't do. I don't like to hear my voice.
Oh.
I'm kidding. I love to hear my voice.
I was going
to
say.
I hear it so much when we're recording. I don't need to hear it afterwards. And if I'm listening to a recording of myself, that means I'm not able to talk as much at that moment.
Oh, this is a fair assessment.
Yeah.
Tweety's friend Nick, who's a fairly accomplished rapper.
I heard about it. I'll just go back and listen to last week's episode.
All right. Yeah.
Only through the intro, though. Then shutting it off.
Well, listen for like 5 minutes, so it could be considered like a download.
Oh, is that how long it has to be?
I don't know how long it is, but it's longer. It's longer than the intro.
I'll fast forward to the end. I'll fast forward to the end of the thing and then ride it out. And
okay.
All of you should do that too when you get angry at a point. And you're like, I'm done with this podcast.
Just mute it.
Yep.
Leave it running.
Mute it. That's even more insulting to us. To turn the volume off and keep it running. If that is the best protest. To run it out and then tell all your friends to download it as well.
That's what the Iowa fans who listen to us, like, who hate listen to us should do, you know?
Are there Iowa fans who listen to us?
We have a fair amount of Iowa fans who listen to us.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is incredible because we shit on Iowa a lot.
Yeah, but still, I think, you know, the pickings are slim for entertainment there, so you got to
go
where you can.
This is true.
Must be slim if they're coming to our side. we rip on everybody, though. They like all our rips except the Iowa ones.
We've become almost a solely Iowa hate. Yeah, especially on our Twitter.
Well, you know, that's good, though, because I remember when we started this, Tweety was whining and crying about Iowa not being a rival and everything.
He still does, just because he can't lose an argument.
But they've done enough. Iowa right now has the case of saying it's not a rivalry. You know what I mean? They've done more winning lately.
Even in the series since we joined the Big Ten? I mean,
we beat them a bunch before.
Yeah.
But it may be even, and I feel like our wins have been less impressive than theirs.
I'm trying to think of how many.
Now, there's always been circumstances, right? Armstrong was hurt in this last game. Wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then the last time, he didn't even play against Iowa, right? Wasn't last year?
What's his name? It became the Riker Fife show last year, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it is 3-3 if I'm doing the math right, because 2011 was our first year in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
That seems right. I can't remember them all. It's been some pretty – there have been some fairly unmemorable games.
No. I mean, neither team – even the year Iowa was real good 2 years ago – one of your most boring, good college football teams. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't... And you have that every once in a while, a team where you're like, why is this team, you know, 11-1? Notre Dame's teams sometimes are boring to me when they get to that level.
Anytime Notre Dame or Iowa in recent years have been good, that's always been the case.
Right. It's like, they just grind out these games and win with kind of a... slowing the game down and defense. It's
with
not
some
like
Bob Diaco style defense.
Sure. And again, I'm not against any of that. If you're going to win, I mean, we just saw in basketball, the Rockets are out now, but James Harden is the most annoying great player to watch in maybe the last 30 years.
I can go with that.
Because when there were some big men like Ewing and stuff, it was kind of boring when they just pound the ball down there. But as like a guard and a perimeter guy, the way he just draws fouls all the time, he's like bumping into guys. He's like flopping and
that was Wade in his
like
prime.
A soccer player, yes. But Wade to me was a more athletic player. You know, like his game is driving and slashing, whereas James Harden is kind of like wobbling through the lane.
Well, you know, they've become more Europeans in basketball of late, and so there's that soccer influence.
Absolutely.
I'm a Celtics fan. Last night was
tough.
Frustrating.
Well, the home team's won every game in that series, so.
The Celtics make, like, even 80% of their layups.
Yeah.
yep. Like, or 60% of their open layups that they missed. They win that game.
Yep. Well, it's so interesting in...
This is being recorded on Saturday, guys.
Yeah. It's so interesting that basketball... players do so much better at home for the most part than on the road. Like the 5, 6, 7, 8 guys on the team, Stars are stars anywhere, but it always seems like your role players always outperform on the
Your Kelly Olynyks of the world.
Yes, your Matthew Dellavedovas, whatever team you like, whatever the scrubby guy who plays is. They play much better at home for the most part.
You're a Knicks guy, right?
Yeah, but I mean, what does that mean? It means I've given up on basketball
That's
the last
fair.
10 years. It's awful how they're trying to... I hope they trade Carmelo. I kind of feel like Carmelo's going to come to L.A. I know we're getting off topic here, but I feel like
whatever.
Carmelo's going to come to L.A., and then Blake Griffin may go to Oklahoma City, and then the Knicks may get some crap from Oklahoma City.
Until Phil Jackson's done, that franchise is toast.
Yeah.
And probably even
I
more so James Dolan.
James Dolan, and he's just taking money from him at this point.
Can you blame the guy?
No, but I mean...
On any of that?
I guess not. I mean, it's almost like he took this job, and he's done so little in it. Like, he doesn't do any of the scouting. He doesn't travel much. He's doing...
He's not even having sex with Jeannie Buss anymore.
No. I'm sure he's doing fine, but I mean, that whole...
I don't know. His back has had some issues.
That's true. He may need, you know, a team of people to work on him in every scenario. I guess back to recruiting. I did have another question about
recruiting.
So we don't have a quarterback at this point, and I've been hearing stuff of like, you know, maybe we don't take one. What happens if we don't take one? I'm for not taking one. Because as I understand it, this Gunner guy or something,
Grant Gunnell.
In Texas,
mm-hmm.
They're kind of all in on him for next year right mm-hmm. now. And they seem to have some nice depth as it is.
Yeah, until Patrick O'Brien eventually decides to transfer, if that happens.
If that happens. But again, you know.
Yeah, right now you've got... For this coming year.
That may keep Patrick O'Brien there if they don't take a quarterback.
True. So right now for this year on the roster, we'll have a junior, a redshirt freshman, and a true freshman.
Yep. And the walk-on.
Yeah. Which
is he a freshman?
He, I think, is a junior. He's a junior college transfer, I believe.
But he's there for depth and to keep the redshirt of...
Tristan Jebbia.
Yeah.
I'm not against the idea of going without one either.
Because assuming none of those guys go pro, even if Tanner Lee goes pro.
Which would be, I mean, you'd start to feel that.
There you would, but you'd be taking, maybe you take two then after that for next year.
You'd be starting to feel like in October or November...
Yeah.
That Tanner Lee, and then you start to ramp up those efforts.
Right. Right.
What's really interesting to me is, so we were really after Colson Yankoff.
Yep.
Which, you know, the jokes Yankoff to Juergens write themselves.
Yes.
A lot of people thought we'd get him because Langsdorf had a really good relationship with him. He goes to Washington.
Yeah.
Where they have
another guy.
Yeah, who's the number two quarterback recruit, and watching tape, I think, is probably the number one quarterback recruit.
Yeah.
I don't think Yankoff will ever see the field as a quarterback.
Why did he go there?
I don't know. Well,
Chris Peterson is. Chris Peterson does.
They develop quarterbacks.
Yes.
But they also recruit really good quarterbacks, too.
Right. Well, but I mean, I think that's the same thing. I actually think this is an argument for. I'm going to call him P.O.B., Patrick O'Brien.
Yeah, that works.
I have a friend. Okay. Do they call him that?
I know who you mean. Husker fans call him P.O.B.
Okay, good.
But yes, so, you're also referring to Saturday Night Live writer
Mike Patrick O'Brien. Who I knew as Pat and still do. But I feel like with Langsdorf and Riley there, unless you're transferring to a Power 5 school where you're going to start, you may be all right just getting your, you know, the training you're getting from these guys, the pro style training,
mm-hmm.
so that when you go in to the pros, you know, the Rams just let go of a quarterback because Sean Mannion, they're keeping mm-hmm. him. I forget who they released, but that was an indication that Sean Mannion is staying. And Matt Moore's a backup.
And has been for a long time.
Exactly. Because those guys know, you know, they're smart quarterbacks who can fit into any pro system
mm-hmm.
because they were trained well up at the top. So I do think, you know, and like, and for both schools, for both Washington and Nebraska, even if you're only getting that 1 year opportunity to start, like Matt Cassel never started at USC.
Right.
But because that program was, you know, running pro style offense and he was a high enough ranked recruit, surely he would have gone higher in the draft if he had been a starter, but.
Well, maybe, maybe not. Because, I mean, the thing with Leinart and a lot of other quarterbacks who come back for an extra year is you get an extra year of weakness on tape.
Yeah. Because everybody's gotten the prior year of them on tape and adjusted. So now you're looking at them after adjustments have been made more generally. Yeah.
And
their weaknesses are exposed.
Yeah. I don't know. It's
a weird thing, though, because this happens a lot where they're like, well, he should go pro now. But ultimately, he's going pro less ready than he was before.
Yeah, I don't get it.
But because they haven't seen his weaknesses, they draft him higher.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like, yeah.
Well, and speaking, too, of this whole hypothetical that's way, way down the line, potentially, with POB, is... So he's in a weird position, especially because Tanner Lee got that extra year of eligibility.
Right.
So he would potentially be a junior by the time that he'd be able to start. But there's also the possibility that Jebbia, who's only a year behind him,
will be a sophomore starter, and then he's back up as a junior.
Then he's fucked.
Right.
And... like, he's already redshirted a year, so if he is ever going to transfer, he's kind of got to do it sooner rather than later.
Do you think he's thinking of transferring this year?
No, I don't think so. It sounded like he was pretty disappointed that he lost out on the starting job to Tanner Lee, but who wouldn't be?
Right.
He
should be disappointed, but, I mean, is he also mature enough to realize he got outplayed, you know? And again, you could be the season starter two plays into the game.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen
at
so
least
many
for this
guys.
Season, you know,
I've seen so many guys quit and transfer, and it's also like, man, you got to start from scratch then too.
Right.
And especially with the current state of the offensive line, I mean, we had to play fucking Riker Fife for the last couple games of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, even when we won national championships, Matt Turman started a game at quarterback.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I think some level of patience is required.
Yes, it gets to that point.
You never see that with linemen.
I wonder if they should have started POB those games last year, save his red shirt.
I think they thought, I mean, there was a legitimate possibility of a quarterback competition between him and Lee this year.
And as it sounded, they weren't that far apart. But again, Lee's, what, 3 years, 4 years older than POB?
Yeah, this...
He's a redshirt junior.
Yeah, and he got an extra year, too. So
right.
Is this his fifth year already?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Right, because he got the extra year. It was supposed to be his final year, and then he got the extra one. So, yeah, so he's 4 years older than POB.
Yeah.
So, or 3 years. Either way, that's a big difference at that point.
It's a huge difference. And, I mean, you can see it. If you just look at their two faces, you can tell that Tanner Lee... is a lot older than POB.
Well, and same thing with Jebbia.
Oh, man.
He looked like you out on the field.
He makes me look old.
But you would...
I look buff compared to him.
I bet you don't if you were standing next to him.
I did stand next to him. There are
really?
Pictures... Well, okay, last year I was lifting weights. I haven't been lifting weights for a while.
Yeah, I bet right now he looks buffer than
you. He's in a college weight room.
Yes.
And... I ate Fat Burger at 12:30 a.m.
Yeah, he's an elite athlete, and you are hosting this podcast with me.
I'll guarantee you he has better hair than I do. He's listed at 6'3", and I think 4 inches of that is hair.
Oh, really? He does have a poofy hair. He has hair more like me.
What?
Well, when it gets poofy. Right now, my hair is very short. When it grows in, it gets real puffy, like Kuiper-y, Mel Kuiper.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I
look forward to that.
Please make that happen.
Yeah. It's going to take a couple months now. I got actually last week off topic. I got a
That's
haircut.
All we do.
Yeah. I got a haircut. Now it was free, the haircut, but I think it probably would have cost like $100 because it was at a new place, that is like opening up near the Gelson's on Van Nuys. Like Gelson's a fancy grocery store. And this is like some shishi place. And my wife was at some other place and she calls me up. She's like, hey, go get a haircut at this place. They're doing free haircuts today. So man, I went in. It was an hour and 15 minutes for this haircut.
The wait or the haircut?
The haircut.
Damn.
Like I got it.
When was this?
This was a week ago.
Oh, man. I got a haircut right around then.
Yeah. It was nice. I get in there and they give, you know, like shoulder massage and then they put the hot towel and stuff. But then they basically, my hair's not fancy. It's a three on the sides and a scissor cut messy on the top. That's really it.
Mm-hmm.
Short on the top. But that's the whole thing. So they basically do that version of the haircut, which maybe takes 15 minutes. But then they basically razor bladed every hair on my head through a series of like these weird, you know, like a Barbara Seville razor, you know, the mm-hmm. old barber razor.
Yeah.
So they're using that and they're like slicing my hair in certain directions so that when it grows back in, I got no clue what they're doing. It's like all hair science. And there's one woman kind of training all the others and she's coming over and it was a very long haircut.
It sounds like the way they cut golf courses.
Yes. Yes. Probably similar technology, like with directionally and stuff.
Does a ball break left or right on your head?
Well, she asked me that, and I said, she's like, which way do you put it? I said, I don't. And she's like, okay. So I guess it just kind of goes up in the air, just sits on top.
Terrible putting surface, the top of your dome. Yes.
But it's nice to get a good, you know, 5-iron out.
Oh, man. Yeah. We have it took us 30 minutes to get into the haircut.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the sign. I mean, when we're at this point. Like, I don't have any – what do we have? How many – 10 commitments do we have right now?
I think it's 10, yeah.
And I heard somebody say that Riley mentioned a couple of silent commits.
Well, there's rumor –
Goodrich?
No, I think Goodrich is probably out of the picture now.
Oh, really?
Well, because
this is Brown,
Joshua Moore and Jordan Moore, the brothers who are a package deal—one who's a wide receiver, one who's a safety. Jordan
that would
Moore
fill out their basically that would fill out the DBs and the wide receivers.
Yeah, Jordan Moore right now is a commit to A&M, but everyone in College Station is like, ooh, does that mean we get Joshua Moore? Sounds more like they're probably going to lose Jordan Moore.
Yeah, because a few days ago, didn't he tease a big announcement or something? And then he didn't do it?
I mean, he just pared down from 7 to 5, Joshua Moore did. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, yeah, we're left in a weird position where we've got some 3 stars who seem really interested, but with those few spots, because right. Avery Roberts' brother
right.
is like an Amani Cross type running back.
Right.
We've got that Chris Blyke, who was a decommit offensive lineman from Penn State,
yep.
who it seems like he's probably going to go to Nebraska, although it's between Nebraska and probably Rutgers.
Right.
yeah, I don't know. It's a weird position and quite the balancing act. But if there's a recruiting staff who I would expect to have the organization to be able to handle that, it's Riley's.
Yeah. So Azigbo is a guy who they got late when Riley first started and was not highly recruited, but turned out, you know, they did good work on him in evaluating him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he exceeded his star rating or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Am I going down or did you turn it down?
Are you going down again? Talk again.
I don't know. It's still.
You're good. You're good. You're paranoid.
Sorry, guys. We were having audio issues, and I got paranoid.
You know, this is an old school episode in so many ways.
Yeah.
Joe and I haven't done one forever. I busted out the old intro, and now we're checking levels.
Right, because we're using the old equipment too.
Yeah, because Tweety has kind of half-heartedly showed me how to use it before.
As he does most things.
And I kind of half-heartedly listened.
As you do most things.
Mm-hmm.
As we all do most things, really. Let's face it.
So that's where we are today, guys. my wife is out of town for a week, and I'm out of sorts, dude.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you've been long distance with her before, but you've had her here for a while now, and so
yeah.
Now it's a readjustment.
Yeah, it's whether whether you move away, whether you move in, whether you move away again.
Yeah. Those first, yeah, the week of transition.
Yeah, and this isn't a moving away. No. She's just visiting her family. But
where's
it's
that? In Nebraska?
Well, okay, her sister lives in Virginia, and like some of they, she's all from Nebraska and everything, but like good chunks of her family were originally from Virginia.
Got it.
And so her parents are out there visiting as well. So they're all meeting up in Virginia.
Nice. That's a nice place.
Yeah. I think we lost you again, Joe.
No.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
What happens to me all the time?
I don't know what happens to you, Joe.
I'm back.
You're back.
All right.
You're either non-existent or fucking ear-piercingly loud.
Okay. Well, we don't need you to hold that the whole time. I'll try to keep it down
a
little bit. Okay.
We apparently do, man.
All right. Well, any Nebraska stuff that crossed through your week this week that you wanted to chat on?
It's mid-May.
Yeah.
It's
mid-May.
We've been dropping this excuse for a few weeks now, but man, it's tough. It's tough.
And in a way, it's good. Like if they had like four commitments right now, I think we'd be talking in a level of panic, and I think I'd actually be paying more attention in some ways to the recruiting, just to see as guys are dropping off. Right now, yeah, if they have those two guys as silent commits, oh man, would that be awesome?
Oh.
That would be great. You get them, and then
maybe like a Calvin Avery, who's Damian Daniels. I love watching tape of those two guys together in high school last year.
Yeah.
That's bananas. Yeah. They're both gigantic.
Yeah. You get some big guys like that.
They're like 700 pounds together.
And you know, I'm looking forward to this defense and how it will help their D-line recruiting.
Yeah.
It seems to be getting a little bit better. Again, I feel like they have so many targets this year. I wish they had another spot for something like that. And maybe that's what they'll do if they don't take a quarterback, is they'll, you know, add a D lineman.
You know, it's really hard right now to know, like, the type of players that we should be hoping for until we see this defense rolled out.
And they didn't, in the spring game, gave us nothing.
Yeah. Because, like, I would guess they're going to move Guy Thomas to an outside linebacker, but, like, knowing, like, okay, these defensive ends are going to be like 6'3", 280, and the nose tackle is going to be 6'2", 315.
Yep.
And this outside linebacker is built and performs like this, and this one does. Like, there's no blueprint to know like what we're looking for.
Exactly.
It can be a little bit of that way too, like with your quarterbacks or other positions when you change an offense. But like this defense, it's like, oh man, it's a whole different ballgame.
You're right. Linebackers become linemen. Linemen become linebackers. Linebackers, it's more that. It's more linemen becoming linebackers in this one. But yeah, you can you have is it Luke Gifford?
Mm-hmm.
Is a linebacker now?
Yeah. Well, he was anyway.
But wasn't he a safety when he came in? Or am I thinking?
Yeah.
Of,
well, he switched over last year.
Who played? Nate Gary was
Nate
a linebacker
Gary,
his freshman year.
Yeah, came in as a safety, moved to linebacker, and they moved him back to safety.
Yeah, and now Philly's probably moving him back to linebacker.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, when you look at all the positions on, like, 247 and Rivals, all that. They basically choose the positions based on, like, you're running a 4-3.
Right.
Like a standard 4-3.
Everything comes out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you end up getting guys who are DEs in high school who you're going to be your linebackers.
Yeah, which is
kind of... I think Guy Thomas will be the rush linebacker, the Lawrence Taylor-type player.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite the way Nebraska adjusted in the mid-90s or early 90s when they moved from a 5-3 to a 4-3. They were moving safeties to linebacker, linebackers to defensive end, going smaller and faster. So I'm hoping this doesn't like revert to like this slow plotting kind of defense.
I don't think it will, but I think what it is better for is going up against Iowa and Michigan State. And Wisconsin and Minnesota and the teams in the Big Ten that are trying to pound you, you're gonna have that nose tackle there, and you're better equipped with two inside linebackers making your tackles, I think. Hopefully. This is said by somebody with limited knowledge.
As long as there's some diversity in skill, man, I just hit your microphone.
That's all right.
As long as there's some diversity that allows for, you know, to also be competitive against like an Oregon.
Yes.
Or right. Should the moment arise, an Alabama in the playoff.
Yes.
Like that kind of thing.
Well, and the really good thing for Nebraska right now is their DBs are good. I think they're going to send two into the pros next year. And
Jones and Kalu?
Yeah. And I think that is going to be a pipeline.
The Williams dudes are solid too, man.
Oh, yes. It's funny that Aaron Williams, which is the one who lost his starting job to Kalu? Aaron or Kieran?
It might have been Kyron.
Kyron, I'm sorry.
Well, I can't.
Exactly.
I can't keep them straight.
But they were both good last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't, you know. And then Lamar Jackson, and now, you know.
Who's got a pro body, just like.
His move to, you know, the whole reason they moved Kalu was to get him on the field, I think.
Yeah. Eventually, it'll be him and probably Elijah Blades.
Yes.
Both, like,
6'2". Or Lee, Eric Lee.
I mean, they're going for big-bodied corners.
But the two Colorado guys, Avery and Lee, are 6 foot, aren't they?
Yeah.
Two guys?
Yeah. But, I mean, like, Blades.
Yeah, Blades is
was
more
6'2".
Like Kalu, who, you know, these long, like Stanley Jean-Baptiste.
Yeah, who just signed with the Chiefs.
Yes, he did. I saw that. That's probably why that name's in my head now.
It could be. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I got nothing else. I could just babble over the same shit over and over.
I've got a need to grab some lunch.
All right.
Cool. All right. So hip hip.
Hey!
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at huskerfilm.com.